Muhammad Ali, and am I willing to pay the consequences? Am I willing to take the hit? Or do I just kind of mum's the word and silence is deadly and not say anything?
Well, at some point, if we have more time to get into, there was somebody on that plane with you, Will. Jordan was not on that plane because Jordan was golfing, but Craig Hodges was. And I know this is probably for another time, but somebody who did on that very trip, when he wore the dashiki, when he presented President Bush with a letter, there was someone who was willing to make a sacrifice, who was then blackballed, who did pay the price for what he did, using that opportunity to make a statement. And that was Craig Hodges. And I know he's talked about it on these airwaves, but it is true that there was somebody courageous and motivated on that very flight, on that very trip, who decided to do what he could do to try to help people, but with the access that he had and was afforded, and made a big statement, a symbolic statement, by wearing the dashiki. And Craig Hodges didn't work in the NBA again after that. We're going to talk a little bit of football because we had some news over the weekend. Arthur Arkush, who is the Bears insider editor for Shaw Media, is going to tell us about the Bears' decision to decline the fifth-year option for Mitchell Trubisky, what it means, what it says, and how the decision got made. We're going to talk about all of that. You're also going to hear from the Bulls' new general manager coming up shortly thereafter. Dan Bernstein with Will Perdue sitting in on a Last Dance Bulls Monday on The Score.
For all station contest rules, go to 670thescore.com/rules.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo. Do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein here. You know, for a couple of years, I've been talking about my friends at Aloha Restoration, but with all the storms that have been blowing through, I know they're hit hard in Evanston, Skokie, Winnetka. I want to mention Aloha Restoration's parent company, Aloha Construction, because right now, Aloha Construction is providing free property inspections to check your roof, your siding, your gutters, all while practicing contact-free processes. That's right, contact-free. So call Aloha Construction at 847-540-7711 or visit AlohaBuilds.com. Aloha.
Sports Station. You need a new car to get to appointments and work safely. But you don't just need a car for now. You're ready to find the one for the long haul, your match. With over 4 million new and used cars, Cars.com has your match. And it's easier to find than ever. Car shop from your couch with confidence. Connect with dealers to tour cars virtually. Search great prices. Find cars ready for home delivery. Meet your match on Cars.com.
We're back with coverage from the championship game. At the plate for the Mr. and Mrs. T Bloody Mary Mix All-Stars is the power-hitting Bold and Spicy. On base is the well-mixed combo of original, horseradish, and fiery pepper, who's been absolutely on fire this season. It's Mr. and Mrs. T's robust team of flavor, handcrafted Bloody Mary champions. This baseball season, draft your perfect Bloody Mary lineup by recruiting the best. Pick up Mr. and Mrs. T's Bloody Mary Mixes, available at Benny's Beverage Depot.
This segment is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. You have just heard from Ryan Pace, the Bears general manager. They made their decision. Mitchell Trubisky is going to be a free agent after this year and may or may not have an opportunity to prove his worth if, in fact, he loses this quote-unquote quarterback competition. Wink, wink. Arthur Arkush is on Twitter, at Arthur Arkush. He is Shaw Media's Bears insider editor, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Dan Bernstein here with Will Perdue today, taking a bit of a basketball detour to address the Bears news. So, Arthur, as I understand it, there were meetings, there were discussions. They really did talk about the pros and cons. How did they get to the eventual decision to not retain another year of Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, Dan, I think part of it had to be the success that they had just a couple years ago with Kyle Fuller and finding out that, you know, a tough love approach or kind of make him go out there and prove it on the field first can still, you know, bear fruit for them. And then I think obviously that's the exception to the rule. I don't think Bears fans should be expecting that for Mitch to go beat Nick Foles and force the Bears' hand into keeping him here beyond this season. But it's a kind of an option at their disposal. And I think when you look at the durability issues, the fact that Mitch hasn't completed a full season as a starter yet because of injuries, it'd be pretty risky to put $24.8 million, I believe it is, in his pocket guaranteed and just assume that, you know, if he can't pass a physical, then they're going to be in trouble. So I think it was kind of a layered decision, but I don't know that it really went down to the last second. I think once the Bears decided to part with a fourth-round pick and $21 million for Nick Foles, the writing was certainly on the wall for Mitch Trubisky.
I agree the writing is on the wall, and I think that's what makes it different from the Kyle Fuller situation, when Kyle Fuller still had the chance to get out there every day. And if you want to talk motivation, to have that sort of prove-it mentality, it's hard to prove anything when you're wearing a baseball hat and holding a clipboard. So if this is playing out, short of injury, I'm not quite sure what Mitchell Trubisky can do when nobody that I talk to observing this from where we are sees him winning anything, regardless of what happens, unless there's an injury, that they didn't make this move for Nick Foles to have Nick Foles sit.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no doubt about that. And we've all been saying that since March 10th or whatever it was. I mean, it is the absolute you know, Hail Mary to think that Mitch is going to be here long term. But a couple of small differences. Remember, Kyle had missed the entire previous season with the kind of arthroscopic knee surgery gone bad. So they really didn't even know. They weren't necessarily counting on him to come in and be the outside starter for 16 games who's going to go to the Pro Bowl and everything. That was just a best-case scenario unfolding. And then the other thing here, and why I'm trying to caution people, I'm okay with Nick Foles, and obviously good Nick Foles is going to be more than good enough. But he's got a couple broken collarbones, and he's got kind of a scary injury history too here. And that's what sets this up as a potentially awkward situation, as we all assume Nick Foles is going to be the starter early on. But whether you can put that toothpaste back in the tube or not, look, we see the quarterback depth chart right now, and if Nick Foles can't go, they're ultimately going back to Mitch. So ironically, I guess that could potentially set up a Foles-like hero quarterback QB2 situation for Mitch. But again, I think we need to be a little bit more realistic about what we're looking at here.
You know, Arthur, let's say that they have the season starts, Nick Foles, air quotes, wins the starting position, and as you talked about, gets hurt, and then Mitch comes in. He's shown that he's struggled grasping the offense. How much will this offense have to change if they have to go from Nick Foles to Mitch Trubisky to try to highlight his strengths?
Yeah, it's a good question. I do think, though, that part of as big a part of the allure of Nick Foles as anything was that they're not going to be tweaking this offense a whole lot. And I realize Bears fans are cringing now as I say this because they watched this offense last year and they saw all the new coaches that Matt Nagy added to the staff and hoped that there would be some tinkering. And I'm sure tinkering there will be, but it's not going to be some profound scheme switch to where Mitch is going to be in a bind. But it is also important to note, as we're talking about knowing the offense, that I think is, I don't know if scathing is the word, but as telling as anything we heard from Matt Nagy going back to February in the NFL Combine was when he said that Mitch needs to know this offense like the back of his hand, know it better than me. He was pretty much saying that he wasn't there yet, and then it obviously has us all rewinding back to last summer and level 202 and the inability to get there successfully. So I don't think that he would struggle to pick up the playbook, however much it's been tweaked. He just... consistency is what has obviously bogged down Mitch for 3 years now, and whether you think he can find that kind of consistent form coming off cold off the bench, I have no idea.
We had a conversation. Arthur, go ahead, Will.
Oh, sorry. But Arthur, if that's the case, and he's struggled to grasp this playbook, do you start asking, okay, where does some of this fault lie? Does it lie with Mitch, with his inability to grasp the playbook? Does it fault with the Bears because they drafted the wrong quarterback. I'm not talking about comparing him to Watson or Mahomes, but he doesn't seem like the right quarterback for the system.
Yeah, no, you know, there's a couple things. There's certainly more than enough blame to go around. I know that it always starts with the quarterback, and that's just the nature of the position and the sport. But Matt Nagy didn't have a good year last year as a play caller. I mean, he regressed too, and I don't think I'm breaking any news saying that. He clearly wasn't in his comfort zone as a play caller and didn't do as good of a job setting up Mitch to be successful. Now, of course, Mitch Trubisky preceded the new head coach by a year, so theoretically he was drafted. This is going to sound crazy. He was drafted for Dowell Loggins and John Fox's system. Obviously, though, they kind of knew the writing was on the wall there. So Ryan Pace obviously thought he found someone who was going to be able to pick up everything. And as we know, I mentioned the inconsistency, of course, has plagued Mitch. But also, I think the lack of football instincts, the lack of seeing things naturally, being an innate quarterback, has kind of felled him too, obviously. And then you go back to the evaluation and where Ryan Pace got it wrong.
I've bounced this off some other people, Arthur. I'll do the same with you. I don't think it's fair to create a quarterback competition in which you already know the criteria on which you're being graded slants the field toward one rather than the other. It's not an open competition of systems, of traits, of abilities. It's a competition of doing things for which they selected Nick Foles and for which they traded a draft pick. Because he's good at the things they want the quarterback to do, here you go, open competition, but they already know who's good at read option decision making, who's good at timing getting the ball out, who's good at ball placement. The whole thing is kind of a joke to me, because it's not as if they're going to say, okay, Mitch, now you get to show what you can do with your athleticism. You can show what you can do on the run, throwing from different platforms and throwing against your body and doing some of these athletic things and arm talent type things. It's just not fair.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree fully with that. I think, though, there's such a situation here. I mean, the draft pick was bungled so badly, and the development has been so much less than it was expected, that there's no perfect solutions here. You know what I mean, Dan? I totally agree with you that this isn't really going to be a fair fight, assuming there's going to be an actual open competition in training camp, which I don't know if there's going to be training camp. I have my doubts about that. But that's where some of the concerns, too. Even going back to last year when we were all watching Mitch really struggle to run the offense in Bourbonnais, and they're saying, you know, it's going to be all good. But when Mitch is at his best, it's when things are organic and he has a chance to not think and just play. And that's never the way it's going to be set up in scripted practices where you're, running off of cards and you're just trying to do things within the framework of the offense. So, yeah, look, it's one more reason in addition to the compensation and in the previous rapport with all the coaches that this thing is certainly slanted toward Nick Foles. But remember, he's had an opportunity to really look good in camps in the past too and kind of cement himself as an early starter on different clubs and hasn't been able to do that either. So I get back to, I like Nick Foles and we know what he can do at his best, but I don't think it's any slam dunk that he is going to be the cure for all the ills in this offense. And that's why it's going to be so fascinating to watch.
Arthur, how do you – now, listen, I'm an NBA guy. As a former player, I can tell you that you can have all the confidence in the world. Mitch can grab this playbook and just constantly cram like he's studying for the LSATs. He can grasp it. He can be currently in his backyard working on the plays and the reads, watching tons of film. But when he walks into Hallis Hall, when he walks into practice – and he sees everybody looking at him, and he gets the feeling that they don't believe in him, and the coaches don't believe in him, that his confidence is gone. Because the minute he makes a mistake, he knows that, hey, it's my fault. Everybody's blaming this all on me. What do the Bears need to do if they need to go to him to be their quarterback to win games?
Whew. Yeah, I don't know. That's why this is such a weird thing. I mean, clearly what they would have to do is change the offense, as we talked about before. What Matt Nagy was not willing to do last year and let Mitch do what he does best is use his legs. Now, maybe maybe there's a line of thought where if you're already on your backup, I mean, obviously we're all, you know, this is all hypothetical. We don't know what the injury would be, how long Nick Foles would be sidelined. But maybe you feel like you can be a little bit more, not reckless, but aggressive with the way you're using Mitch. And then you see him on the run more and having an opportunity to use his best skills better. But I'm not sure. I mean, we all know that confidence was an issue last year. Of course, they were fighting it with him all season. And now, hey, look, we just make this huge investment on the only Super Bowl MVP in franchise history. So how he's going to react to that, we all think we know because we've seen it before, but I don't know. Maybe it brings out a different side of Mitch that we haven't seen yet. Again, these are all long shots, but crazier things have happened, I suppose.
Do you know anything, Arthur, about how this new brain trust is working? And I know obviously they're working from home, but one thing I've been trying to figure out and something I've been watching this whole time is between the promoted Dave Ragone, the experience of Bill Lazor, and the relationships with John DeFilippo, and now with having these quarterbacks involved, who does what?
I don't know yet. All we've really heard, you know, we've had two opportunities to chat with Nagy and Pace in the offseason, or I guess two virtual opportunities. You go back to the combine, and there were one more. And all we've heard is about the is just about the way that this is going to be a consensus and that they're going to value everyone's opinions. But I mean, I can't tell you, is it going to be the one who's working on the game plans each week the most with the quarterback? I mean, I think it's kind of an atypical setup to begin with because the head coach is the play caller and therefore you don't really know. That's a little different than where it is in other places. But I would imagine John DeFilippo is going to have as hands-on an approach with Mitch as anyone. That's often the job of the position coach, and then that's also something we heard upon his hiring about DeFilippo's kind of tough love style and how he does have the ability to kind of get in guys' faces a little bit if he needs to. So I kind of feel like they're going to have Flip in a really pronounced role is being, you know, on a daily basis working very closely with both Mitch and Foles. But I don't know. I mean, again, we don't even know if there's going to be training camp. We don't know what these virtual online offseason program is looking like right now. So there's enough mystery to begin with, and now you throw in all the coronavirus concerns and the way that it's changing the offseason, and it's really, unfortunately, kind of hard to get a grasp on how this thing is going to operate.
Arthur, is the offensive line solidified and the backfield position solidified where they can run it enough and it's productive enough to take the pressure off not only Nick Foles but Mitch Trubisky?
I don't know. I think that's a giant leap of faith right now. You're assuming that Charles Leno is going to rebound from a tough season, that Bobby Massey at age 30 is going to be healthy, although he was very durable up until last season and then dealt with a high ankle sprain late in the year. So I think Jermaine Ifedi is going to be fine at right guard. I really do. I know he